Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
All right, a diversity of voices now on that BP oil spill, which is being investigated by a presidential commission. Here is some reassurance from Fred Bartlett, who's the chief counsel of that presidential commission on the Deepwater Horizon oil spill.
People have said people traded safety for dollars. We studied the hell out of this. We welcome anybody that gives us something we've missed, but we don't see a person or three people sitting there at a table considering safety and cost and giving up safety for cost.
So the suggestion there, no compromise of safety for cost from the chief counsel of that presidential commission investigating BP. What does Gib Pennington, a resident in Mobile, Alabama, say?
I'm sure that having someone to blame would probably make anybody feel better. But, you know, I mean, I think that probably regardless of whatever decision was made today, that somebody who lost their livelihood is probably not going to care too much. They're probably going to blame somebody anyway. You know, if they're not held accountable legally, they'll for sure be held accountable in the people's minds.
From reassurance to, I think it's fair to say, cynicism there.
Yeah.
Resigned cynicism from that resident of Mobile, Alabama. And how about a little anger from Dean Blanchard, owner of Dean Blanchard Seafood in Grand Isle, Louisiana?
No, we don't need nothing to blame, but I mean, we know somebody's at fault. The thing blew up. If that's normal procedure, we need to quit drilling. Well, if just nobody does nothing wrong and the well blows up, we got serious problems.
We know the thing blew up. There has to be a problem. John Broder, reporter for our partner, the New York Times. How does a presidential commission combat that intuitive sense that there's got to be some fault here?
Well, this was one of the frustrating things about yesterday's day-long presentation. It was technically quite a tour de force with Mr. Bartlett and two of his assistants, who are very bright young lawyers and engineers. They said at the outset that their assignment was not to assign blame or determine liability, but to explain exactly what happened. And it turns out, like many other major industrial accidents or scientific mess-ups, like the Challenger accident, a deepwater well is a very complex system, and it took several mistakes and misreadings for the accident to happen. And so there wasn't a simple assignment of blame, and there wasn't even a simple explanation. So I can understand why people down in Louisiana are frustrated. People in the room yesterday were frustrated.
So John Broder, reporting on this story for the New York Times, do you sense that Bartlett is selling the line that, hey, this is so complicated, we're not going to get to the bottom of this, so just stay tuned and sit where you are? Or is he just really concluding that this is the situation? And I think there's a subtle difference, but it's important whether he's selling the preconceived notion it's too complex or he's finding that this is the case.
Well, that is a subtle difference, and I think that if he were representing one of those shrimpers or the family members of one of those who was killed, he could make a very persuasive case that it was a combination of mistakes and errors by a number of people and a number of companies who should be held liable. But he took his mandate not to identify blame, but to explain exactly how it happened. And he walked through three critical steps in the last 24 hours of the life of that well that were contributing factors, but he wouldn't identify one.
Hmm. Catherine Schultz joins us also, author of the book Being Wrong, Adventures in the Margin of Error. Catherine Schultz, in your view, what are the limitations of commissions like these, and can there be an independent investigation of BP? Certainly its partners down there in that Deepwater Horizon well were angry at the BP report.
Well, you know, I think it's crucially important to have an investigation when we have these kinds of massive catastrophes happen. Obviously, we want to understand how they came about, and more importantly, we want to understand how to prevent them in the future. And, you know, I think part of what becomes important is to understand what the goal of any given investigation is. And, you know, as John just pointed out, this commission was charged not with assigning liability and responsibility, but with really coming up with an explanation for what happened here. And those are very different tasks, and in some ways, I don't want to say antithetical ones, but you need to really understand in some detail what went wrong before you can start apportioning responsibility for those errors and mistakes.
Well, Catherine Schultz, let me ask you, which part of that is the most important outcome? I mean, when you're trying to deal with the aftershocks, when the American people are trying to deal with the aftershocks of the oil spill, is it most important to figure out what went wrong, to find out who's to blame, or to figure out how to prevent it?
Well, I mean, these are deeply related challenges, I would say. You know, you can't figure out who to blame until you understand exactly what went wrong. And in fact, if you put the cart before the horse and set about pointing fingers before there's been a thorough investigation, well, that's obviously of no use to anyone. We don't know what happened, and so how are we going to, you know, honestly understand who was responsible and who should, you know, bear the responsibility for, you know, compensation, for changing corporate practices, for all the kinds of things that come out of investigations like this.
To say nothing of the lawsuits that will be pending against BP and how this bears on that. John Broder, before we go, how's the blowout preventer doing as the defendant here, or the cement that was used that some people said was faulty, or the way in which the monitors seemed to blow out and not work at the time that they needed to?
Well, those are all identified as factors. In some ways, the blowout preventer was sort of the missing defendant in the case. It's down under lock and key in Louisiana, a Norwegian engineering firm with a lot of experience in North Sea drilling has been hired to do the forensic testing on it. But Transocean, which owned and operated the blowout preventer, contended that the blowout preventer didn't fail and caused the accident. It failed because of the accident. It was sitting atop an uncontrolled geyser of high-pressure oil and gas, and it worked within its design specifications, but it wasn't designed for that powerful a blowout. And so we must look someplace else, Transocean says, in its own self-interest, for the cause of that catastrophic explosion.
But who would have made the decision then to put a small cap on a big geyser?
Well, this was not a small cap, but this is 40 stories high and many, many tons, but it wasn't strong enough to hold back this one.
Well, that certainly we know. It kind of goes back to Dean Blanchard. It blew up. Somebody must be at fault, or something must be at fault. The commission investigation goes on. John Broder, reporter for our partner, The New York Times, on the line from Washington. Also, Catherine Schultz, author of the book Being Wrong, Adventures in the Margin of Error. Thanks to both of you.